Good morning, church. Welcome to our services. Even though we're separated in many different locations, but kind of like the house churches in the years long ago. We're glad that you have joined us this morning for a worship, and we hope that the things that we do are in accordance with God's will, and that we learn from this and to be better people in the future. We have this opportunity together as a church, even though we're not in the pews here, and that we're fortunate to have guys that can set this up and to all enjoy worshiping together. I know this is a special week for many people in the religious world, but for us, as in our worship, we observe the Lord's Supper and things of this nature, that we do this each Sunday. And it's not a special Sunday in a way, but it's every Sunday for us, the first day of the week. And we enjoy honoring God and thinking about Christ each first day of the week. If you would, please bow with me and we will go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and for this opportunity to gather together as a church and to worship you, the only true and living God. Heavenly Father, we're most thankful for the blessing that you sent us in Christ, that in and through him we have a hope of eternal life. And through Christ, we also have one of the greatest blessings, and that is the blessings of forgiveness. Heavenly Father, as we go about our daily walks this week and in the past few weeks and continued weeks, we have to realize that we are setting examples for others, that we do those things that would protect us and our neighbors from this from this virus, and to be with us in all of our efforts not to spread these things to other people. Heavenly Father, we know that this is a difficult situation, and we pray that you would, in your loving and kind hand, help us and to help the whole world in overcoming this coronavirus. Heavenly Father, we pray for our leaders of the county and state and the nation, that they look unto those resources and for their own wisdom to do the things most helpful for us, that we may once again meet together as a family of God's people. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and for the things that they have endured in the past weeks. And Heavenly Father, be especially with those first line responders. And we know that their job is not easy, but in this day and time is especially difficult for them and their families. And we just pray a prayer for them, that they would have the strength and the courage and the divine guidance from you to do those things to help all of us. Heavenly Father, again, we pray for our church family, that they be safe during these times, and they help to keep their neighbors safe also. Heavenly Father, we have this opportunity to serve you and to serve our fellow man. And Heavenly Father, we're most thankful for the opportunities that we have in serving you. Heavenly Father, as we continue our work and continue our livelihood, may we always be mindful that all the good and perfect gifts come from you, the Father of lights, the only true and living God. As we continue our worship this morning, be with us. Forgive us when we fail thee, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name, and amen.
So glad that you could join us this morning. I've still got building on my mind, so let's start out with our building hands. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the foolish man's house went splat. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the wise man's house stood firm. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings, they will come down. Oh, the prayers, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all sing out this morning. Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. I'm satisfied with just cards below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. Praises to him I sing, onward I go. Closely to him I cling, blessings still flow. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Our song before the Lord's Supper this morning will be "Lo, in the Grave He Lay." We'll sing the first three verses, then the chorus. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Matthew 26, starting verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Last week, I started talking about tables. And when you think about tables in the New Testament, you cannot not think about this table, the Last Supper, as it's called. There are so many interesting things that occur at that table. But the Lord's Supper that he institutes here is one that we have remembered since that day. And what strikes you immediately about it is the commonness of it. Anyone and everyone would have had bread and wine. If you had to choose a meal that someone would take after you passed, that they would remember you, I don't know what that meal would be. Maybe a milkshake, a filet mignon. I don't know what that meal would be, but I know what Jesus chose. Something that every one of us take part of every day, bread. I also think about the uncommonness of this meal. If we see the common in the nature of the things that anyone and everyone would have had, then we have to see here the nature of Jesus is something that everyone didn't have. As he gets to the cup, he talks about it's his blood and how he's going to pour out his life for us. And we understand that every time we gather together, there is the commonness of this meal in which we share with one another in a community. And also the uncommonness of it as we sit and we remember what God has done for us through his Son. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, as we take this bread, help us to remember the fact of the common nature of this meal and the uncommon nature, Father. Let us understand that this helps us to remember who and what Jesus was and helps us, Father, also to remember who we are, who we belong to, and what community we're a part of. Father, as we now partake of this bread, help us to remember his body. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, how great and mighty is your name in all the earth. Lord, we continue this prayer of thanksgiving for the communion that we're having now with your Son. Father, we ask that you'll bless this cup as we partake of it, Lord, and help us to remember the life that was laid down so that we could live. All this we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Let us say a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, in these unique times, help us to remember the things in our life that we are grateful for. We are easily disgruntled and angry now, Father, that our daily routine has gotten into somewhat of disarray or disorder. Lord, help us to remember what it is that we're here about, what our business is and whose our business is. And Lord, help us to remember continually to give of who we are and what we are and what we have in all ways that we can, Father, to you and your cause. Help us to do everything in our ability and everything with our possessions to honor you and to seek your kingdom first. This is our prayer in your Son's name. Amen.
We'll sing one song before Ben comes and speaks to us this morning. Make sure you turn into the next video. The lesson will be a separate video, part two. So make sure you click on that to listen to the lesson this morning. Let's all sing out. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of grain blessings o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all.
As we gather on this day, on our calendar it says that it's Easter. We understand that this is a celebration historically of the resurrection of Jesus. We know the date may not be absolutely precise due to the Jewish calendar being on the moon and our calendar being on the sun. But the Passover is something that has been celebrated for years and years, and so we know that we're pretty close to the day. And I thought I would ask just one question this morning. And as I ask this question, I'm going to do my best to carry you through a few scriptures, and then I want the lesson to be yours. And the question is, what does the resurrection mean to you? I'm going to start out by reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I like to read that passage this morning very intentional, because when you think about the resurrection, so many times we just think about Jesus being brought back to life. That's what the resurrection seems to be sometimes. But resurrection is so much more than that. The description that Peter gives us here in this passage alone describes the resurrection as being something so much larger than just Jesus being brought back to life, but about us being brought back to life. As we look through Scripture, God has been telling the story of the resurrection since the very beginning. And I believe that you can find a little bit of this in you and in your journey. Some nature, some facet of it in some form or fashion. But the very beginning, I think that we'd have to say that God creates in chaos. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We know that in the original here, it talks about being formless or void and chaos or chaotic. And God enters that chaotic situation and creates the world with his words alone. I bet when you think about the resurrection, you think about some chaos in your life that God has entered into. There's been some moment of chaos that was maybe one of the first moments in your life you could admit you were out of control. And God enters into this moment and makes that chaos something beautiful. Exodus from oppression. There are numerous times in the Old Testament when I see God lead his people out of oppression, but none bigger to me than the story of the Egyptians. And in Exodus 30, verses 31, we see that that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Oppression is something I recently have spoken quite a lot about. And I talked about how God sent Jesus here to destroy the oppressor and the oppression within our lives. And I bet also when we think about the resurrection, we have to say that at some point or another, God has led us from oppression. When speaking to others about life, I often use the example that we have our highs and we have our lows, both spiritually, physically, and mentally. But what we have to learn to do is to live our best life in between those two moments, knowing that when we are spiritually high or our closest to God, that we will soon distance ourselves from that position, or when we are at our furthest point and we feel oppressed, knowing that God will come in and enter into that situation and lead us back towards still waters. When I think about the resurrection, I think about Exodus from an exile or an exilic period in my life. The last one I want to talk about, I think, is a homecoming. A homecoming from exile. There's something about going home. And I don't know what that word means to you or where that place is located. But when you hear a song about it, it makes your mind drift. There's also been some point in your adult life that you probably felt homesick, not even maybe living just a mile or two down the road from what you considered home, but you felt homesick before. In your heart, you just wanted to be surrounded by people that loved you. You wanted to be home. There was a period in my life when I felt absolutely alone in a room filled with people. So I relate to this one a lot, I think. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 through 14, we get a very prophetic image of the future and also in the very moment that the Israelites are living in. And the Bible reads, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle in your own land. Then you will know that I am Lord. And I have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord.'" This is definitely a moment speaking in the very heart of the situation that Israel finds themselves in. But also it's very prophetic in the sense that he's speaking in the future of the resurrection that we talked about already this morning. When we think about the resurrection and how it has affected us in our lives, the last thing that we need to make sure that we are a part of is when we think about what the resurrection is and how it's affected us toward the fact of becoming God's child and being matured into the image or formed into the image that he would have us to be formed, is to make sure that we are sharing that message. I'll never forget the very first time I thought the thought that when I speak to someone, I need to quit talking about issues of this is what you do or this is not what you do and start talking about God and start talking about Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us and the salvation that he offers and the resurrection of his life. When we think about personal witness, there are so many scriptures in the Bible where people are sharing a personal witness of what God has done for them. But I think about Psalm 30, verses 2 and 3. "O Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit." In the very end of that same psalm, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever." This day as we see that empty tomb and we think about the resurrection of Jesus and what that means for us in our lives, we add a personal definition of the things the resurrection means for us, it has done for us, and how it has formed us. And we go out from this day forward and we forever give thanks by telling others in any form, in any fashion, about the resurrection and what God has done for us through his son, Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we bow before you this day, seeking your forgiveness for the wrong that we have done in our lives, for the good we've had the opportunity to do, but we haven't done. Father, I don't know that I ever thought in my life that I could say that I have taken for granted the gathering of your people. Today I can say that. I never thought that there would be an opportunity where we as God's people could not gather together. But in so doing, Father, I have to admit that my personal failure in realizing what an awesome blessing it is for God's people to gather. Lord, as we put our minds and hearts toward you as worship today, we also want to think about the awesome gift of your Son. And Father, let us pray and help us, our prayers, that you help us to have the courage and the strength to never take that for granted, the gift of your Son. And Lord, as we look at your story, we understand that you have always been there creating in chaos. You've always been there leading us out of oppression. And you've always led us toward home no matter what was going in our lives. Let us never take this for granted, Father. The blessing of your Son is the blessing of life. It is the blessing of second chances. Father, help us to be a people that constantly bear that in thanksgiving in our life and sharing with other people that message, the message of hope, the message that's around a table with common emblems that everyone has and possesses. As we partake, we remember the gift of your Son. This is our prayer today. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us for worship this morning. We will close out in a song, but everybody has to stand up. I haven't asked anybody to stand up in 4 weeks, so. He stopped it? I haven't asked anybody to stand up in weeks, so go ahead and stand up. Let's all sing out. We'll start slow, okay? I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in God. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God. Oh, yeah. Start it up a little bit. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in God. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God. Oh, yeah. Thanks for joining us this morning. Y'all have a blessed week.